back and forth, and they run one to another. Now, we do not boast of or even like to speak of our love for God. We're so ashamed of it that we don't like to even speak of it. Certainly, do not run around boasting with signs and things of how much we love the Lord. John said, here is love. Not that we love him, that he got better. It is that our love compared to his is the love of God. So we don't like to speak of it. Plus, believers are so up and down, so hot and cold at times, so times when we feel like, yes, and we're back in our times. It's hard to find it. But now, I would believe that if you were pressed, I asked each of you, like our Lord did, and he looked at Peter and died. Now, Peter had just denied the Lord three times. Terribly. And he was a coward. He was ashamed to own that he even knew. He started cussing. And the Lord, little God, gathered it all together and looked over Peter right now and asked him point blank, to him, Peter, you love me. Peter didn't hesitate. Lord, look in my room. But he said, on the bed of the job, yes, Lord, you know. And let me say this, you know, Peter's the one who wrote, blessed are the day whom have you not seen. You haven't seen the day today. Peter's the one who wrote that. Peter said, we got an advantage. John said, imagine the future we have. The Lord knows that. There's nobody in Scripture has seen him personally, heard his audible voice, felt his actual touch. Nobody can do that. Yet, and the Lord knows the limitations of our knowledge of him and our unbelief. He knows. That's not a how much does a dog know his master? Not much at all, but about to be around him. About all that dog knows about the master is that's his own feet. And a dog likes those about his master. So, what I'm trying to say is we can't, none of us can't speak into growing terms about our love for the Lord. We just don't know him that well. And I don't want to listen to anybody talk selves. You see what I'm saying? Let me say this to some of you who are either young, getting this relationship, or are a little maybe unsure. If you love this gospel, what's the gospel about? It's about Christ. That's a good sign. If you love this gospel, all we do here is speak about Christ, don't you? All we do. So if you love what you're hearing, and you come here because you want to, and you enjoy what you're hearing, not sure of yourself and your relationship, yet you love being here to those who love this. Love what you're hearing. Pretty good sign. You might just be puppy. A puppy love, you see. One of these days you're growing an old dog. You still won't know what you want. All right. Let's get into it. running through is Christ is speaking. Christ is speaking. Verse 1, I am the rose of Sharon. Any doubt in your mind that Jesus Christ is very God, very God? None. People who don't know him and don't believe him say he never said he was God. Well, no, he didn't say that to them. How do we run around and think of this and not say that? But every one of his people knows they know he's God. Right there he says, buddy, who's talking? Christ is talking. He said, I am. The rose of Sharon. I am the rose of Sharon. This place of Sharon was a valley, a beautiful valley, known for its beauty and its beautiful green pastures. This is where, interestingly, David used to feed his crops. That's good. He's the rose, rose, not the midst of that valley. Rose of Sharon. Rose, you gardeners. Is it anything, any flower on earth? There's a lot of beautiful flowers. They're all beautiful. Not them all. But really, for beauty, for fragrance, is there a flower on earth next to God? That's fragrance. That's beautiful. How many varieties of roses? How many roses are there? You have to be honest. And that represents Christ's beauty. A rose for beauty and fragrance, nothing more beautiful. Christ is called, we all get a lovely one, savor, sweet smelling savor. He says, I'm the lily of the valley. I'm the lily of the valley. So Christ is a lily. Rose is a very exquisite name. Rose is a very cultivated thing. You know that? Rose takes that care and cultivation. Rose, anybody can grow rose. Have you tried? Takes a master gardener to truly grow good roses. People have tried roses. Christ is that altogether lovely rose grown by God himself. But yet he says, I'm a lily, and I just can't go with it. Now, lilies are beautiful, aren't they, Barbara? Lilies are beautiful. This lily that he's talking about, the lilies that grew over there in the Middle East, were predominantly flowers. Which that's the lily. So I'm the lily of the valley. I'm a lily, and in the midst of the valley, it's common, Christ is the Son of Man, and for the pure. Now, I love this story, this illustration. It's true that lilies over in this particular area of the Middle East were very fragrant than sand. Those lilies were very fragrant. And they grew in such abundance that they covered the fields. Like, you see, going down the highway, these lilies that they grow in the midst of the media, you know, but even more dense than that. They were huge, and some of them were. Way over your head, these lilies. Beautiful. As far as I can see down in the valley, beautiful lilies. And the fragrance, they say, when the wind will blow, just cover that valley. Well, these lilies were so fragrant, rabbits. Animals of prey knew that if they could just hide themselves in those lilies, that the fragrance of those lilies and the dense cover of them would hide them from their dogs, foxes. That's it, this illustration is. Christ is the lily of the valley. For the common man, with beauty and fragrance and compassion can run and hide. I'm the lily of the valley. And look what he says about us. Now, Christ is talking about us. Verse 2. He's talking about the lily. Verse 2. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Where's the daughters? He's the son. We're going to see that.
Absolutely. Made of God, holy, unblameable, unreprovable.
Yes, he is.
As he is, so are we. That's what Christ tells his people.
And all the thorns.
And we just sweep in, I have an idea. But Christ tells his people is among the thorns. He said that about himself. We may have did that, especially with the 22 beautiful women or something. He said, I'm on thorn on two roses. Help me. And right there, there's a good thing for that. He feels that way. Thorn of three beautiful roses. That's what we feel, but not to Christ. Christ says the whole world is thorns, and my people are lily. And he says in Isaiah 33, there are thorns that should be burned in the fire. The Lord will gather up this world burden. Isaiah 33:12, who maketh us different? And Christ who is. All right, then the church speaks of Christ. Verse 3, the church speaks of him. And she says, as the apple tree among the trees of wood, so is my beloved among the sons. He says, my daughter, my bride is a lily among the thorns. And she said, you see how they talk about the thorn here? This is love like this. No, no, that's what lovers talk. It's language reserved for one another. You don't call them like this. Who do you think? Actually, Solomon had a young bride that he was in love with, and they were talking back and forth. Yes, but But this would have happened. Probably. And the picture here we give is of two people who are in love and enjoying one another and they're romancing each other. And they're doing that in the atmosphere. We want to buy an apple and sugar plum. And that evening he takes her out to dinner. And then I'll sit up and take some lessons here. I'm serious. That evening he takes her out and winds and dines her. He brought me to the banquet now. You see the picture here, Sam? That's actually happening. It's Solomon. No wonder he had a palace of life, huh, ladies? Treat a woman like this. But that evening he takes her out and winds and dines her, moves her even further. And makes she's going to see in a minute, she gives him that all the magic money. Now, this is a practical lesson for young would-be husbands, for old wannabe better husbands. The scripture says, husbands, love your wives. Okay. That's Christ. This is the picture. This is Christ. How he loves his own. How he treats. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, this lesson is for me. If none of you men read it, you probably don't. I do. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. There's no such thing. Listen to me. I grew up in Fort County, Kentucky, and they knew the business from that in Franklin County. Again, I mean, if you live there, you wouldn't even know you moved there. Same people, same men, same group. There's no such thing as a macho. That's a big problem. Anybody who's macho is not. Can you hear me? Yeah, I hear you. That part of this book, macho, means, you know, proud, overbearing, rule of iron throne, never emotional, never sensitive, never tender, kind, demanding. Just, you know, macho. That's not such thing. And Christ came to the true Christ like men, listen to this statement. True Christ like men are just like him. That's the reason I implore you, young ladies, unmarried young ladies, to find your man. Don't even think about getting married. If you find a man who knows the love of Christ. True Christ-like man is like Christ. He's tender. He's kind. He's thoughtful. He's loving. He's romantic. This is Christ, man. He's romantic. He drew us. What's the scripture say now? He drew us with that. Cords of love. Cords of man. He moved, not the story of Boaz. Don't you know that story of Boaz moved? Nancy, he romanced her and moved her and cooed her and used her references. She could. She led in his face. And a true Christ-like man, a true man, is a tender man, is a kind man, is a thoughtful man, is a loving man, is a romantic. Now, we've got to get this through our heads. Like I said, start with me. Maybe you have to get over 40 before we even start. but anyway, it is Christ. Well, let's think on work for some of you guys, you know, who are who are saying, well, this is for me. But enough for you, I hope. If in Christ, a new creature, then old things pass away. All these old notions about manhood. We don't know what man is till we know Christ. Then we start even letting Christ be our man. I don't care what the world says a man is. It's not a man. Is it? This is the man. Christ is the man. He's the only man that ever lived. He's the only man that ever lived. Man, the one God intended man to be. Stand the only one. That was he. The most lovely man in your family. He never got mad. So, the most manly man is the man that knows our Christ. Right there. He brought us. Hasn't he brought us and God's good providence? The house of feasting? That's who God is at. The banqueting hat. The banqueting hat. The place of feasting. Blessed is the man who bowed to the sin. Because it's his perfect truth. Solomon didn't do this for every woman, but he chose them. Good. This is good. good time. Help the people apples, fruit, fruit to vine, fruit to eat. But, so they just eat together. That's what we're doing. Eating together. Vine of this word, fruit of the spirit. Vine which is pleasant, makes glad, fruit, comforting in sickness, comfort me with sorrow in the apples. And look what happens. She just gets sick with love. First time. I am sick with love. I'm tired of all this. What were the innuendos? Would you get tired of this? No. But it may just, I'm just so full of love, I'm sick. And you brought it. Now, I see you. I'm sorry. I'm very sore. Maybe it's so great. Coming home here, he tried to have a seat there, and then come all the way back here. She's in Tennessee. And I'm going to Tennessee now and broke it. Well, she was living with a cut. What is it about the parts of Tennessee? Anyway, I found one down there, and I had to come home away from her, and I was like, sit in the middle of it. And you can live with it. Sit in it, Mom. Love is an amazing thing. It's you can't describe it. True love is, I tried, here's my attempt, it's uncontrollable. It's undeniable. It's irrepressible. It's maddening, gladdening, mystifying, superfying. Love, isn't it? Now, every one of you that's been sick with it, it makes you look at Prince. What did you say? You got 400 miles, and I've sleep for 4 days. Fantastic. It's true. It's true. True love, that's great. And I've read something. It says, all things in love can be excused. All bad behavior. What's wrong with you? Doesn't he know I'm here? No. He only have eyes for her. And all silliness aside, when a person starts becoming the member of Christ and the gospel, it's you can't put your finger on it. Maybe something's happening. What's wrong with him or her? Maybe a sick of self, sick of love, true love. And it only goes deeper. It just doesn't say it's stupid. But it does go deeper. Yes, it does. Maybe you are right. It's faith. It's maddening. But it grows deeper, it does, in everything. And, on a serious thing, really, our God's love for us is amazing. It's amazing. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things of God has in them. You just don't know what they have. You just don't know. That's the reason there's going to be silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. That's what it said. At some point, when I believe that all the saints are gathered together, it says there will be silence for the space of 30 minutes. Why? So, have you ever been brought to silence? I don't say. I'm speechless. But it stands that way when we think. And it's a miracle he left the eye now. But that's what it's going to be for all of God's people when the time is there. When the time is there, together, and behold me. See and feel and touch. You know, that's just not natural. You don't leave concrete, visible things, tangible things, to unseen, unclear things. That's what you say today. It's not natural to willingly leave this life and know you love with absolute confidence and a smile on your face, go and see somebody who hasn't seen them. That's a miracle. Yes, it is. Human beings, this is the reason that we want to hold on this life as long as we can, and men run to their dying breath, you know, want to just hang on, but I'll leave here. They really do. He puts his life in there, and they want to see him. They know that the part to be with Christ is far away. They don't believe in love. What was wrong with love? Nothing more. That's a miracle. That's an amazing thing. You know? It's an amazing thing. Well, look at this. So they are in love. Now they embrace. Verse 6. They embrace. His left hand is under my head. And his right hand doth embrace me. You see this picture here of Teresa? He's wooing her and under that tree. He's taking her and winding her and bound her. Paying her apples and wine. Now they embrace. They embrace. He says, left hand, she says, his left hand under my head, his right hand doesn't embrace me. His left hand holds my head, his right hand holds my heart. Isn't that beautiful? Huh? You ain't never read any poetry or any book by any mortal man. There's never been a love story written. His left hand holds my head. His right hand holds my heart. His left hand, this is a good picture. His left hand teaches me knowledge. His right hand understands. There's a difference. His left hand teaches me doctrine. His right hand embraces me. What would life be without an embrace? Verse 7. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rules and by the hand of the field, but you stir not up, nor wake my love till he flees. This is how. So special and so sweet, and you think, oh, well,
phone, but he didn't touch my arm. No. And you resent all intrusions when you see this view of Christ in worship. Verse 8. Alright, so they parted. What does that mean? You see there's a time. This is about to be the time of state. What has happened is they have parted and they've gone different ways. And now he's returning. And so it is, and whenever we come to hear the gospel, we must part. So we part and rather in the world, and in the time when Christ returns, we return the same. Verse 8, of course. He's calling again. We pick on Mary, obviously. And then she asks back when you don't know when the phone rang, who makes the phone? Who could? Everybody? Any hour of that? What did you see? Did it have its affection? Well, he's calling again. He's calling again. Did he ever call too much? I didn't do it, so. You're an old married man. He's calling again. We come back to hear the gospel again, and his voice always goes, the voice of my love again. Behold, and this is what he says, when he makes himself real to you, behold, he comes. How about that? Behold, he comes. He's coming. Yes, he is. Why is this message so real and dear and precious and sweet and all that you need? Why? Because he's coming. He's coming. And look at this, leaping upon mountains, skipping upon hills. You know, that 400 miles, how long did it take you? Very much so. That promise? Not very long. 7.5 hours. He was 45 all the way. It seemed like 7 minutes, but no obstacle. In other words, in love, and he went over the mountain. When there's love, no obstacle. It's too great to get to those ones here. And all the obstacles. And I'm not trying to get you to pray, but this is going to happen. This is an obstacle. And no obstacle was too great for our Lord to endure to get to his people. He went over the mountain, not some mountain. Not that one. He'll call it all up. Skip. What do you do when you skip? Little girl got to skip. You still skip? I'm picking on the whole thing. You still skip? What girls do that? Why? The joy. Who's my daughter? Well, the scripture says in Hebrews 12, Luther was a child of a certain time. He endured the cross. He endured the law of death. Not Sinai. Still, he knew Christ literally climbed the highest mountain. Isn't that beautiful? Right? It was sickening. Oh, verse 9. Now Christ, not the other, he said, is like a roller and an unhard. He's like a roller and an unhard. Remember, he was compared to having doves eyes. A dove, female deer, a roller, fawn. Is there anything more beautiful and precious, son? Maybe a newborn horse, yeah, but they look just like a dove. Look just like a fawn from the house. Isn't it? Oh. Oh.
Sunday afterwards. And we study where those Sabbath times, not there when we have it. Yes. Yes, you will. I know. So what it says, the flowers are blooming, the birds are singing, voices of the turtles are coming out of them. Fig tree, verse 13, fruit, farmer, green vine, figs, the vines, the tender grapes, give a good smell, arise from the earth, not there, what? Come away! Smile. Walk with the flowers. Listen to the bird. Can't you see the Lord's goodness in all this? Listen to this. I love this. Psalm 27, 13. I have faith, unless I have believed, to see the goodness of the Lord. And the man believed. It's not that now. Our Lord, I was on the same way as Matthew, where he said, Peter and the boys, they're missing their homes and families. And Peter said, Lord, what's that wrong with you? They were missing their homes and families. And they had nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble, kid. They were living in the summer of their life, and the boats were bad, and they were in big time. But they left all that. For trouble. Everybody hates them. Our Lord said, there's nobody's left father, brother, houses, land, son, daughter, husband, wife, or anything, for my sake, and God, who shall not receive a hundredfold in this time. Right now. I will pay it two, three times. Right now! If you don't see it, you just don't see it yet. It's coming. We're telling you how. I can see this from the side. Think right now. You know, the Lord took a dear, precious person that you think, well, we can see anybody we can see without this person. We can't do without them. And got two young children. And the old man. Well, because there's a young lady who's never had a real husband. There's a young lady who's never had a real father. There's a young boy who's never had a real father in her home. Got to take her for this two people. Yes. I can see the Lord's good hand on me. Sure can. Well, that's not Moses. And not this guy was smelling birds and he's singing about all this. You know what I'm saying? He's too good to do bad by him. He lies to him. He knows it's the same. Everything was right. And you're going to hear birds. And smell flowers at the end of it. But you would have waited on, reigned over. Now let's see the good moments. Isn't that good? Yes, it is. Verse 14. He says to her, oh my brother, thou art in the flesh of the Lord. She's hiding in the secret place of the stairs, that is, in the basement, under the basement stairs. What's she doing now? I don't know, but I guess she's doing something she's ashamed of. She's done something she's ashamed of. She's hiding in the bedroom. He says, come on. First, so maybe she's going to pray. Verse 14. Let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. Come on. You're sweet tonight. arrived, and he said, no, you should have come. He would have bad in the eyes of courage. I know that. Verse 15, though, here's a general reminder of rebuke and exhortation. But this is Christ speaking. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, the spoil of the vines. Our vines have tender grapes. Foxes, I guess that's what they call them, fox grapes. Fox grapes. But foxes love them so much. And they eat them. And what he's saying here is don't allow the little foxes. Foxes, little ones. And they're sneaky. Is anybody more sneaky and more vile than a fox? I don't believe it. When I had chickens, that's bad. Wow. I don't see them. Right back to where they know. Sin is a subtle thing. Good sin.
Christ's name we pray. Amen.